When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Golf Under Par podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jeremy McCullough. We are on a journey to find the information that's going to help you play the best golf of your life. Join us now as we dive in. Welcome, everybody, to the Golf Under Par podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jeremy McCullough, here with a special guest, Stephen Yellen. He is a golf coach and author of the book Simplicity, the Fluid Motion Factor Golf Program. And that is what we're going to be talking a lot about today. You can find a lot of his information at fluidmotiongolf.com, where he has an online program. You can find out some of his clinics that he runs and get to learn more from him. Well, thank you, Stephen, for being on the show, and welcome.
Jeremy, thanks for having me on. It's my pleasure.
So I always start off asking everybody, how'd you get into golf?
Well, you know, I took up golf I wouldn't say too much later in life. I was about 25 years old. The sport that I grew up with was tennis, but I moved to San Diego in 1980, and it was about 7 minutes from Torrey Pines Golf Course in Del Mar. So my father was a scratch golfer for 50 years, so I got interested. And he gave me the fundamentals, and, you know, that was it. I was off to the races after that.
Okay, very cool. I'm passing down the legacy, huh, from generation to generation, huh?
Yeah, no, he was. He represented the United States in international competition. He was that good.
That's awesome. So, yeah. Well, cool story, I'm sure, for him to share at Thanksgiving dinners and stuff. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So, big chunk of our conversation today is going to be about your book, Simplicity, and how it takes the reader through the steps of kind of getting into the zone, and which you oftentimes call the fluid motion factor there. And so how long did it kind of take to formulate this concept? And then how long does it take to implement it for golfers?
Well, I'll tell you the story on how it came about. As I mentioned, my sport when I was growing up was tennis, and I grew up in Florida, had a good junior career. When I was a senior in college, I won the Florida State High School Singles Championship, and our team won the state title, which was a great way to end senior year. Right. I then went on to play at the University of Pennsylvania, where I had a good college career, played number one singles for 3.5 years, but when I was a senior at Penn, I had this extraordinary zone experience that really changed my life. And it was a challenge match against another player on the team. You know, we had challenge matches every week to see, you know, who was going to play 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, for the next match. And I was very familiar with this player. I never lost to him, so it was nothing really special, but I sank down into a state that I had never experienced before. It was just extraordinary. Now, I was sort of in the middle of the food chain for national junior and national collegiate tennis. I would go to the nationals every year, win a few matches, but by about the third round, you know, someone would have Stephen Yellen for breakfast, you know, and that would be all she wrote. But for that 1 hour, I experienced what these top 10, you know, junior and collegiate tennis players experience. And the overriding experience was freedom, absolute freedom. I could do whatever I wanted to do whenever I wanted to do it. And it was actually ridiculously easy to do. And I sat down after the match and I literally could not move for 10 minutes. I was so overwhelmed by the experience. It was in many respects a very spiritual experience because I felt myself out of my body in a way, looking at myself perform, and there was no micromanaging, and there was just complete freedom. And I knew that this experience was going to change my life. You know, occasionally in life, you have an experience where you know your life is not going to be the same after this experience. And sports was such an integral part of my life that I knew that this was a gift. I didn't know where it would lead, how long it would take, what the final destination would be, but I knew that my life was not going to be the same. And I had to come up with the answer of why it happened. I mean, I played so many hundreds of matches over, I was 22 years old at the time, or 21, about to turn 22. I played so many hundreds of matches against so many different players in so many different venues and so many different circumstances that I had to understand what precipitated this. Why did I have this experience? It was absolutely extraordinary. So finally, I had to get up after sitting down and not moving for 10 minutes because I was so overwhelmed. And I was on it for 24/7. I could not let it go. Why? Why did I have this experience? Now, if someone was watching me play and knew my game, they would see that, oh, Stephen, your footwork, I've never seen your footwork so good. I've never seen your racket preparation so well, so good. I never saw your balance so good, your shot selection, your follow through. But I knew that that was a byproduct. That was a result of something else that happened. And I wanted to understand what that something else was, that primary level of what precipitated this experience. So after about 2 or 3 days, I woke up and I figured it out. I knew exactly why I had this experience. It was black and white. There was no gray whatsoever. And again, I was 21 years old at the time. I thought it would take me 2 or 3 years to develop a program because it was very subtle. It was way under the radar, way under the radar. No tennis coach had ever explained this to me before. And I took some lessons from some of the top coaches in the country. And I thought it'd take 2 or 3 years to develop a program to at least give tennis players, I wasn't even playing golf at the time, okay? I took up golf 3 or 4 years later, to at least give tennis players the opportunity to become more consistent, which every athlete wants. They just want to become more consistent and occasionally have these kinds of zone experiences. Well, Dr. Jeremy, I was way, way off in the calculations. It didn't take 2 or 3 years. It took a lifetime. And the reason why it took a lifetime, this happened in 1975, by the way. That's when I was a senior at Penn. The reason why it took 46 years, really 45 years, because I more or less closed the book on the program about a year ago, is that the arena from which zone experiences are generated from is an extremely delicate, subtle arena. It has its own laws of motion. It has its own nuances. And unless you respect and honor and pay homage to those laws of motion, to those nuances, you will be humbled in a second. So I had to investigate, understand, and come up with a program that allowed someone to be align with those laws of motion. And it's not just for golf. My program, Fluid Motion Factor, has been taught in 12 sports because the body doesn't care what motion you're producing, whether it's a drive in golf, shooting a basket in basketball, throwing a curveball, hitting a serve, going for a goal in soccer. Fluid motion is produced identically in every single sport.
45 years later, now that we've got simplicity and this fluid motion factor program. So yes. I guess the question is, how long does it take for golfers, and like what kind of skill level do you need to have in order to implement it?
It's for golfers, beginning golfers to tour professionals who I've worked with and I'm still working with, because it doesn't matter if you're a beginning golfer or you're a tour professional, you're going to produce a fluid swing using the same processes. You know, golf is all about motion. Motion is all about the muscles. Where's the operating system of the muscles? Well, it's in the brain physiology. So when a beginning golfer is able to get a ball airborne, they are accessing very specific processes in the mind. When a PGA professional is able to hit a solid drive or hit the green with his iron or even sink a putt, it's the same processes in the mind. Obviously, it's on a higher skill level, but if you went to a cardiologist in Virginia Beach, or you went to a cardiologist in Sydney, Australia, the cardiologist is going to explain how the heart works. You don't have an Australian heart and you have a Virginia heart, right?
Right.
This is neurophysiology. So the processes in the brain that produce fluid motion for a beginning golfer are identical to the processes in the mind that produced fluid motion for Patrick Reed, who just won at Torrey Pines yesterday. It's the same processes.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that makes sense. Because I mean, we talk about in physical therapy where we have a central program generator, and that is, you know, our walking. And so that doesn't change from person to person. It's the same program. It doesn't change after you have an injury or anything along those lines. But and so it's kind of like getting back into that same generated process when something kind of goes
right
off. And that's what we deal with in physical therapy on a regular basis. So
sounds similar.
Yeah. And it's all makeup of the brain. How long does it take for golfers to start grasping kind of the understanding of the fluid motion factor program?
1 minute. Okay. 10 balls.
Yeah.
10 balls. Sometimes 3 balls, sometimes 1 ball. Why, you know, that's, you know, for a listener hearing this for the first time, that's kind of outrageous, right? Where's the learning curve? All right. Now, there is a learning curve. There's actually 3 learning curves: range, course, and tournament golf. But the brain physiology was designed in a certain way to create fluid motion. Just like the heart was designed in a certain way to pump blood correctly through the physiology. Now, you could say that the mind is like an ocean. You could say that there are surface levels of the mind, like there are surface levels of the ocean, very choppy, very active, sometimes turbulent. And the mind has the same scheme where you're thinking a lot, you're analyzing, you're discriminating. But then the mind has the ability to settle down and experience quieter levels of the thinking process, softer, quieter levels, more silent levels of the mind, right? So we have this scheme of the mind having surface active levels, thinking a lot, and then not thinking a lot. We have this experience 100 times a day. We're thinking, and all of a sudden we say, you know, that's enough thinking for me, and then the mind settles down. And of course, we have this experience every night. When we're trying to fall asleep, the mind is active, active, active. Well, you're not going to fall asleep if the mind is active. So the mind settles down and then the body gets rest. Now, the body has the same scheme. You've got the surface. You could say you have the gross, bulkier levels of the body, which core levels of the body, which are core muscles, which are important for emotion. But if they dominate the motion, the ball's not going to go anywhere in golf, right? And the body has also deeper levels of intelligence embedded within it. You could say the ability to fire the fast twitch muscles, which are necessary to generate club head speed, and the ability to self-correct emotion, which is the brilliance of the human brain physiology. Now, here's the secret sauce, and here's why it could only take 1 or 2 balls to have this experience, which I've had numerous times with players, is that when you generate an intention thought during the swing is only about 1.5 seconds, but when you generate an intention during the swing from the surface level of the mind, you only have access to the surface level intelligence of the body. You only have access to the core bulkier muscles of the body. But the way the whole thing is set up, and certainly it wasn't set up by me, is that when you generate an intention from a softer, quieter level of the mind, you have no choice but to access the deeper, more intelligent levels of the body. So when someone is playing really well, and let's go away from beginning golfers, let's even talk about professional golfers, okay? When someone is playing really well, they, for whatever reason, they didn't have to understand these dynamics. It doesn't matter if you understand it. The laws of nature are not dependent on human belief. Is that when they're playing really well, they're generating the intentions during the swing. I'm only talking about the 1.5 seconds. I'm not talking about before or after. They're generating the intentions during the swing from a very quiet, soft level of the mind. Therefore, the body is free to do what it knows best. It can it's accessing the deeper levels of intelligence of the body. But when that same player goes out, who shot a 65 on Thursday in a PGA tournament and shoots a 73, the same player,
yeah,
for whatever reason, maybe he hit 10 or 12 fairways or 14 fairways on Thursday, and he ends up hitting three or four fairways on Friday, that same player is generating intentions from a surface level of the mind. So he only has access to the surface level of intelligence of the body. So the mind was designed to generate a golf swing from a quieter, softer level of the mind. It was not designed to generate a golf swing from the surface level of the mind. And let me just interject here a little bit of brain neurophysiology, is that in order to generate a motion, any motion, whether it's walking across the street or you're hitting a golf ball, you have to generate a signal, an intention in the mind, or else the club's not going to move. Now, there are two parts of the brain that are really interesting in producing motion. One is the prefrontal cortex, which is the front of the frontal part of the brain, which oversees all processes in the brain, which is called the CEO of the brain. And it's essentially the discriminating intellect. When you're thinking a lot, it's the PFC that's thinking. And the other part of the brain is the motor system. Now, when that player who shot a 65 on Thursday, during his swing, the majority of his swings during the 1.5 seconds it takes to generate a swing, the signal bypassed the prefrontal cortex. The prefrontal cortex or the intellect went offline, and the signal went right to the motor system. And it's the motor system which communicates with the body to produce motion. Now, when that same player shot a 73 on Friday, for the majority of his swings during the motion, the prefrontal cortex or the intellect went online. And then it delayed that signal moving seamlessly and effortlessly to the motor system. And then in the middle of the motion, the body is looking for direction from the mind. There's too many processes going on. And that's when the bulkier core muscles dominate the motion. And that's when he can't square the club. That's when he is coming over the top. That's when he can't release, or he's guiding the ball and he can't find the slot. There could be numerous mechanical problems that happen during the swing. But essentially, the origin of that is that the prefrontal cortex or the intellect went online. Now, getting back to why it only takes one or two balls for some players to experience this, which I have seen countless times, really, is that when you set up, or when I set up the conditions for the mind to experience quieter levels, whether you understand this, these dynamics of what I just said, whether you don't understand, whether you believe it, whether you don't believe it, laws of nature operate independent of human belief, immediately. And when I say this, immediately, I'm talking about within one or two balls. Immediately, because you're generating intentions during the swing from a quieter level of the mind, you have access to the more intelligent levels of the body. So right away, the body starts to default to simpler and more powerful positions during the swing, even if you don't know what those positions are.
Okay. Yeah, when you talk about a swing only taking 1.5 seconds, any kind of hiccup in that when the prefrontal cortex kicks in, I could see that throwing the groove off a little bit there. And so then you don't have quite that fluid motion. So that can make sense to me. And then how that would, the intention coming from the surface of the mind rather than the more depth in the mind makes a difference.
Okay, Jeremy.
More of an automatic.
Here's a question for you, okay? You've been playing golf long enough to have some good experiences out there, right?
Yeah.
Give me one word. You have one word to describe how it felt when you played your best. One word. Just get one word. What's the word?
It felt good. I think freeing. I think like you kind of used the freedom earlier when you were talking about your experience.
Yeah,
and I think
describe, that would be describe to me or to the audience as well what you experienced when you played your best. What did it feel, you know, if you were to describe the experience to somebody?
I mean, I think of it, maybe not even a golf sense, you know, when I'm playing really well, like basketball or some other sport, it just feels like it's easy. It's simple. Right. And you with golf, you know, you're just like, okay, yeah, this is what I do. I take the club up here and I just swing through and the ball goes where I want it to go and we're good. Or, you know, I shoot the shot and it kind of just floats towards the goal and there you go. And it's in. And it's like the example we hear, I think, with some of the basketball players where they say it's like throwing a rock into the ocean when they're feeling it.
Okay, now describe how it felt when you played really, really poorly.
Infuriating. Nothing was going right. Let's see here. So if you're using like one word, it was like impossible. You know,
well, from an internal description, okay, what were you experiencing inside? Okay. We know it was frustrating, okay?
It's probably more of a fight, right? You're just like a conflict with inside where you're trying to, like, okay, what am I doing wrong? You're sitting there trying to tease out everything, all this information, and you're trying to have a conflict of what you're seeing happen and what you feel like what's happening.
So would you say that your prefrontal cortex was much more engaged when you played poorly?
Yeah, because it's right? Analyzing all this stuff. It's trying to take all the information and analyze it.
Would you say that there's, for most golfers, there's a contrast between how they hit the ball on the range versus how they hit the ball on the course?
Yeah. I mean, you talk about, you know, let me just go with professionals. You talk about they can hit all the shots on the range, but then you put them on a course and they can't, they have difficulty hitting the shot that they're needing to hit. And granted, there's a lot of different factors to that, but yeah, no, I think that's definitely true.
But here's the thing. It's because they don't know what they have to do. They don't understand. Unless a teacher or a player can answer this question, which is a very simple question, they will be searching for solutions for the rest of their golfing career. And they will usually look completely in the wrong places, which is the swing. Okay. And chances are they'll never reach their potential in golf ever. Very few golfers reach their potential in golf, even professional golfers. And the question is very simple. How is fluid motion produced and why does it break down? It's very simple. Now you go on the PGA Tour, except for Scott McCarron, who I've worked with for the past 5 years, who won the Schwab Cup in 2019. Lee Jansen, I worked with. Gabby Lopez on the LPGA Tour, they cannot answer that question. So the thing is, you know, before I work with a player, and I've worked with a lot of good players, I ask them a question. Okay, I set up this scenario. Let's say it's Scott. I say, Scott, let's say you just had the best ball striking day you've had in 6 months. Okay, and this is a professional golfer this is what he does for a living, right? And you just had the best ball striking day you've had for 6 months. You walk off the course, and someone comes up to you and says, Scott, do you know why you played so well today? Now, if you ask that person enough questions, which I have, and they start saying, well, I was really swinging well. I said, well, what happened last week when you missed the cut? Not sure. So if you ask them enough questions and you get away from the swing, they'll say, you know what? I'm not really sure. Then you say, well, let's say you go out the next day. You just had the best ball striking day you had in 6 months. You go out the next day and you have a miserable ball striking day. And you walk off the course and someone comes up to you and says, and asks you, Scott, why did you play so poorly today? Could you fundamentally answer that question? And if they're honest, they'll say, no, I thought I was doing and thinking the same way I thought yesterday when I had the best ball striking day. And I thought I did the same thing and I have the worst ball strike, a very poor ball striking day. So let's look at the scenario. This is a professional golfer. This is not a weekend warrior.
Right.
He's not too sure what happens when he plays well. And he's not too sure what happens when he doesn't play well. Now, could there be anything more wrong with that picture if you're a professional golfer? No, there could be nothing wrong with that. And the answer to both questions, why he played well and why he didn't play well, is a very simple answer. It's not Stephen Yellen's answer. Stephen Yellen may be clever. He is not the creator. He didn't create how fluid motion is produced. On the day that he had a solid ball striking day, he was generating his intentions from a very quiet level of the mind. Therefore, he had access to the more deeper, intelligent levels of the physiology in the body. And the day he was not playing well, the next day, he was generating intentions from the surface level of the mind. The prefrontal cortex went online. The body was looking for direction during that 1.5 seconds. It wasn't forthcoming. It goes into crisis management. He has no idea what's going to happen on the way down. He has no idea really whether the ball's going to go right or left. Essentially, he's at the blackjack table at the Bellagio on each shot, and he doesn't know what card is going to be dealt. Have I stated this case clearly enough for you, Jeremy?
Yeah, that makes sense. And so I guess me being a very logical person, probably why I got into physical therapy and fitness training, how do we help somebody get from having these surface thoughts down to these deeper thoughts?
First of all, well, you have to read the book. You have three choices. I'll give you three choices, right? I'll give you four choices, but the fourth choice will just give you the intellectual understanding, won't give you the technique. You could sit down with any neurophysiologist in the world and ask them how fluid motion is produced and what happens when the prefrontal cortex goes online. And if he knows his stuff, he'll say, well, that's no bueno. You are at the blackjack table at the Bellagio, okay? So you'll get the intellectual understanding because I got it from a neuroscientist to work with two Olympic teams. I didn't know anything about neuroscience. I knew my program worked, but I didn't know why it worked until about 10 or 15 years ago when I sat down with this neuroscientist and he explained, well, this is why your program works from a neurophysiological perspective. So to answer your question, your audience has three choices. One, go on Amazon and buy my book. It gives out the whole program. I have to tell you, I wrote this book 4 years ago and it took me a long time to release it because I charge a lot of money to work with someone in person. Why would I give away my whole program for $25, okay? And finally, I realized, you know what, Stephen, there's how many, 24 million golfers in the world or something,
yeah, something like that.
Okay, they need to know this. You have a responsibility. You have an obligation. And of course, I want to be financially rewarded for this. But the desire came from compassion because golfers suffer. If you're listening to this and you're a golfer, I know your soul. You're suffering out there. You walk off that course sometimes and you are a mental and physical wreck. And you're asking yourself, do I really want to continue spending 4 or 5 hours away from my family on Sunday if I'm miserable out here? But then you hit two or three good shots and that brings you back. Okay, I'll come back. Maybe I'll get it this time around. And then that's endless search for a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow that they'll never get to. So, I decided to release the book. The second way you can learn the program is I have an online program. And if you go on my website, fluidmotiongolf.com, it gives you the options. The third option, if you have some money in the bank, you should work with me in person. I fly all over the country to give clinics or work with individual people. And that's absolutely the ideal way to do it, simply because I can see your swing, I can see your body language, I can see where you are in the food chain. And you will get maybe 20% more than you will get from the online or the book. And especially if you're a competitive golfer, that 20% could mean an awful lot in the end.
Yeah, there you go. And so where did you kind of come up with some of the cues to kind of get people into the fluid motion and getting that, into that zone?
So 15 years ago, Dr. Fred Travis, this neuroscientist, told me something that completely changed my understanding of sports. And had he not told me this, the program never would have been developed to the level that it's been developed now. He said, He said, "Stephen, you know, once you groove a motion, that motion can't break down. What breaks down is the ability to access it." Now, if you think about that, that is a mind-blowing concept for a golfer. Now, the key word is grooved. Grooved means you drop a ball's on the range. Hey, I'm good. Looks good, feels good. It's not for a beginning or an intermediate golfer. It's for someone, you know, who's a golfer. What that means, muscle memory can't break down, is you do not have to reinvent the swing on every shot. The rules of the bank neurophysiologically to access what you already own, the money in the bank. So based on that, I knew the mind had to become silent. Silence is the key. It's the key. So I developed, you didn't have to think about golf. You don't have to think about your swing. It's done. So I developed these cues essentially that help quiet the mind. And even though my program is a mental training program, it has nothing to do with sports psychology. I have zero background in sports psychology at all. So I would come up with these fluid cues. These are something that a golfer does mentally, either before they walk into the shot, while they're walking into the shot, while they're over the ball, during the swing, or after the shot is done, but they haven't come out of the shot, that allow the mind to experience deeper levels of silence. The key is to allow the mind to experience deeper levels of silence. So it took a long time to come up with these fluid cues, years and years, even though, you know, you told me you read half the book. I mean, how ridiculously simple are they? Kindergarten. But it has to be simple, because when someone plays really, really good golf, it feels ridiculously simple. So you're never going to get simplicity from complexity. You're only going to get simplicity from simplicity, and that's why my program is so simple. And that's why the name of the book is Simplicity.
Yeah, and they are very simple, and you know, simple. I always say on this podcast, actually, is that you know, simple consistency leads to greatness. So if we continually do the simple things, that's where those steps. It's like that 1% better each time comes from. And so I love the premise of things being simple, because simple is easy to implement and it's easy to remember. It's easy to work with.
Yes, it's very, very, and you'll see as you, I have 5 sets of fluid cues. The book only has 4, but I had to save something for special occasions. But you know, as you see, each set of fluid cues, they get simpler and simpler, because you can't do anything complex out there. Who are you kidding? All right, you're not going to get simplicity from complexity.
Yeah.
And the simpler it is, the simpler the result you're going to get, which means, as you said in your good old saying, consistency.
Yeah. So. The reasoning for the different cues is kind of just to keep them, I don't know, maybe the mind from trying to dominate that again, or coming to the surface, or just...
No. The reason, each set of fluid cues has its own purpose. And not everyone likes every single fluid cue. Some people like this one better than other people. You know, it's like you're going to a buffet. Not everyone's going for the tofu. Some people are going for the chicken dumplings. All right.
Right.
So I give a sort of like a variety and a choice, but they all roads lead to Rome. They all do the same thing. And that's allowing the mind to experience deeper levels of silence. It's just that you're coming from a different perspective. And as you read, as you finish the book, you'll see, oh, this set of fluid cues really teaches you this. And this set of fluid cues really teaches you that. So we're looking at that arena from where zone experiences are generated from every possible perspective that you can imagine.
So I need to finish reading the book, start applying these things and seeing how it goes. And I'll get back to you on my thoughts with that there. And hopefully some of these, some of the listeners will do the same thing. As some of our wrap-up questions here, I always ask these to everybody that comes through, just get a feel for what's going on with what they're doing. And what's your favorite golf memory?
My favorite golf memory is playing with my mother and father at Torrey Pines. That was, and it's not just once, it's probably 300 times. And that's a great thrill for me because my mother wasn't bad, all right? She can get that ball airborne and she can move it around, but that's Sunday afternoon at Torrey Pines, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We used to pay $7 to play Torrey Pines, all right? It's probably 150, 200 maybe in season. So that's my favorite. Those, I wouldn't say memory, I would say memories.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. And most people would love to get out there and play. All right. Next is, what's your favorite drill or exercise to improve your own personal game?
See how little you can do mentally. Okay. Just see how, because less is more.
What's the takeaway you want golfers to get from this or to apply from this conversation today?
They're much better than they think. They're much better than they think because they know how they hit it on the range. They're saying to themselves, okay, on the course, first of all, geez, where'd that range swing go? Okay. After the round, they're thinking, geez, why can't I hit it on the course the way I hit it on the range? Well, guess what, folks? It's a golf ball and it's a golf club and you're hitting it off the grass both times, range and course. What is the difference? Well, the difference is you'll find out in the book what's the difference. But I'm telling golfers, and I see this all the time, they are much better than they think. When their minds settle down and they start producing fluid motion the way the creator designed fluid motion to be produced, instantaneously, no learning curve there, instantaneously, they're more consistent. Therefore, they enjoy themselves more.
Awesome. Well, Stan, thank you so much for coming on today. Before we let you go, can we get ways that we can follow you, keep up with what you're doing, learn more about the fluid motion factor, golf program, your book, whatever?
So I'm on Facebook with my name, Stephen Yellen. I post a lot of posts, literally all the posts on something golf related. I'm on Instagram where I post videos a couple times a week. My Instagram is fluid motion factor, fluid_motion_factor. My website is fluidmotiongolf.com. Again, I would suggest you buy the book. It'll change your golf career forever and your game forever. And contact information, if you want more information or if you have any questions, you can either email me through my website or email me through, there's another email address at the end of the book. And that's it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on here. We'll have Stephen's information below so you guys can check out the book and his website and some of the programs that he offers and get more of this information about getting into the zone and having this fluid motion in your own game. Thank you, Stephen. And thank you all for listening. Remember, consistency, simple consistency leads to greatness. Thank you guys for listening to this episode. Hopefully you've enjoyed this content on the go. If you found it helpful, please share with a friend and leave us a review on iTunes. This allows us to reach more golfers just like you that want to play under par. Do you want to be stronger and healthier? Well, I've got a resource, Golf Fitness Tips. It's a free Facebook group where we talk about how to take care of our bodies so that we can play more golf, we can play golf longer in life, and we can play better on the course. If that interests you, then check out the link below or search for Golf Fitness Tips on Facebook.